الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. There's an ayat of the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَهُ, that you must leave all the sins that you commit openly or secretly. Sin means that you do anything which is against the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to do anything which is against the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in this ayat of Quran, generally, and because of our intellectual abilities, we categorize that when you do a bad action, that is sin. But we ignore the other and more dangerous types of sin, that is our inner sins. Outer sins are things like consuming interest or drinking alcohol, eating pork, listening to music, many more. Inner sins are unlawful feelings that we have, unlawful desires that we have. We like to feel pride, envy, jealousy, to have unlawful desires. And many times these unlawful desires in our heart, they provoke us to do the outer sins. And just like the outer sins are unlawful, we should be thinking that the inner sins and these inner feelings that we have, they're also equally unlawful. Equally unlawful for me, for us to have pride or arrogance or jealousy. In fact, there are some inner sins which are more severe than the outer sins. So our mashayikh, they say that we should be so scared of committing sin that we should not even come near a sin. Just like when there is a huge electrical wire, a child won't even come near that wire because he's afraid of being shocked. Hafiz Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahmatullah alayh, he said that don't look how small the sin is, but you should be looking at how great that being is against whom you're sinning. And there's no justified reason for committing a sin. A very famous scholar, perhaps Ibn Athawla Iskandri rahmatullah alayh, he was the one who told his students that when you sin, you close all the doors from which the creation can see you. You lock all the windows, you hide your sin from everyone. But then we are unable to close the door through which Allah Ta'ala can see us sinning. And what justifiable answer can we give to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala on Qiyamah if Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala were to ask us that, oh my servant, you are so careful in concealing your sins from everyone, but you are so and you were so embarrassed of your sin that you tried to remove it with all your possible efforts. You didn't want that sin to be unveiled in front of creation, but you felt no shame, no embarrassment in doing that sin in front of me. So do I have less value in your eyes than all of the creation? Imagine what kind of reply. There will be no reply that we can offer to this question. That being who gave us life, that being who blessed us with uncountable blessings, will be silent. So what the Deen of Islam teaches us is that we should always be repenting to Allah Ta'ala. And one of the easiest ways to attain tazkiyah of our hearts, to purify our hearts, is to become a person of tawbah, to truly repent. Because when you truly repent to Allah Ta'ala, then you switch your life. One phase was being a sinner, and now you switch to your life. There's another phase where a person becomes a true mu'min. And to become a true mu'min, we need to have true tawbah, true repentance. The path of true tawbah is the path that connects us back to Allah Ta'ala. It's a way of life. When you become a true mu'min, then it's a way of life where you prioritize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over everything, anything, everything, everyone. But normally what happens is that we sin and we don't make tawbah. Our mashayikh, they say that there are three things that can increase the severity of a sin. Just like the good deeds can become more rewarding in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, in the same way, the three things that can increase the severity of a sin. The first thing is that you do that sin over and over again. When we fool ourselves in committing that sin, and we say, this is the last time, last time, last time. Every time we do a sin, thinking that this is the last time, one final time, then this is shaitan and nafs are there with us. They are trying to convince us to just do this one last time. So nafs and shaitan, they're with us. Nafs is like a stubborn child that keeps on insisting on doing a particular sin. You keep on insisting until you fall for that sin. Shaitan doesn't care what type of sin you do. He isn't stubborn like our nafs. Shaitan's main purpose is just to make us do any sin. And when we sin, then he tries to stop us also from doing good deeds, anything that is good. So our nafs is fooling us, is deceiving us, wanting us to do that sin. And shaitan is also deceiving us, trying its best to make us commit any sin. The second thing that happens is when we lose that hesitation, that embarrassment in doing a sin, this also increases the severity of that sin. Normally, when we start initially, we understand that this sin is very severe. And we might feel some shame, some embarrassment. But gradually, when we lose that hesitation, when a person loses that embarrassment, as we start becoming more unaware of the severity of our sin, then what happens is that it creates a new person within us. A person who's not ashamed of doing anything, not embarrassed of doing anything. Yani the nafs which is within us, the nafs-e ammara, the sinning nafs, that becomes overconfident. And then the third thing that happens in a sequence is that now, since a person has lost that guilt in doing a sin, his heart, it hardens so much that he is bragging about that sin. he's sharing that sin with his friends. So we have to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this path of tawbah. But again, many of us, we claim to make tawbah, but the reality is that we haven't really understood what tawbah is. Four things a person must do for the tawbah to be accepted. The first thing is that a person must repent sincerely. We repent, but we don't have that sincerity. Sincerity means that we must be feeling that guilt. We must be feeling some shame, some embarrassment, some guilt about my action. And then a promise to Allah Ta'ala that Allah, we will never ever commit that sin again. Actually, here also shaitan deceives us. He puts this waswasa that how can you make such a big promise when you know that you're going to go back in that sin? In fact, there is a riwayah which says that on the day of Qiyamah, the person will be raised up who lived his life in the same way. And he would do a sin, then he would repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he would do a sin, then again he would repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the angels to look at this servant of mine. Truly, nafs and shaitan were always against him. They never relented. They never gave up in making him sin. They're always after him. But my servant, he was also unrelenting in making tawbah, in turning back to me. And because of his constant tawbah, his unrelenting tawbah, his repentance to me, I, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will forgive him. So we should never be deceived by this waswasa, never delay tawbah by thinking that what's the use of this tawbah when we know that we're going to do that same sin again. And when our clothes become dirty, we don't stop washing them, thinking that what's the use? I know that they will get dirty again. We just need to wash ourselves. We need to purify our souls every day. The Prophet ﷺ used to make istighfar 70 times, another riwayah 100 times every day. Polishing the heart, beautifying the heart, wiping the heart, washing ourselves every day, multiple times. And our intention is that we are hoping that, Ya Allah, you are the most merciful. You love to forgive. Allah, we are seeking your forgiveness. And Allah, we ask you for that forgiveness. We won't do this sin again. So that's the first condition for the tawbah to be accepted, sincerity. And the second condition is that we must also learn to forgive other people for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. If you want to be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to be able to forgive others as well. There is a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said that on the night of Laylatul Qadr, such a tremendous night, better than 1,000 months, on that night of Laylatul Qadr, everyone's salah, their prayers are answered, except that person who has a grudge or a malice against his fellow believer, fellow brother. And you imagine what kind of deprivation. And we see this, that in our worldly relations, it happens many times that when someone says something bad to us, we feel hatred, we feel anger for that, we feel spite, malice. So no matter whether we are justified in our anger or not, We must forgive them for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, so that we can be forgiven by Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if we are reasonable and justified in being angry on someone, then surely Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala is more than reasonable. He's more than justifiable in being angry with us. We sin against our Creator and still Allah Ta'ala forgives us. Then what right do we have in not forgiving other people for the sake of Allah? So the second thing is that we must learn to forgive other people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is important, for the sake of Allah. Otherwise, if we take Allah ta'ala out of the equation, it becomes very difficult. Very difficult on your own. But when you're doing it for Allah ta'ala, to please Allah ta'ala, then it becomes easy. And the third thing for the tawbah to be accepted is that we should stay away from every and anyone who's inviting us to sin. We must abandon that bad company. We must isolate ourselves from everything that leads us to that sin. And the fourth condition which the Mashayikh mentioned is that we should increase our good deeds. So we should never despair of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how deep we sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is greater than our sin. The Prophet taught us a dua that Allahumma maghfiratuka awsa'u min zunubi. That, oh Allah, your maghfirah is more expansive than my sins. وَرَحْمَتُكَ أَرْجَى عِنْدِي مِنْ أَمَلِي. And your mercy, Allah, have more reliance on your mercy than any of my actions. So we can never despair of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. No matter how deep we sin, how great we sin, how much we sin, Allah Ta'ala's mercy is greater than all our sins combined. All our combined sins combined with every single individual. If they were to put their sins together, Allah Ta'ala's mercy is greater than everything, all of those sins. So we should have full iman, full conviction that no matter how bad we are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us if we truly repent to Allah Ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting to forgive us. Allah Ta'ala wants to forgive us. Allah loves to forgive us. But the shart, the condition is that if we truly want to repent, if we repent truly, and we continue in fulfilling and living a life of a true believer, doing those four things, staying away from the environment of sin, doing more good deeds, and being hopeful in the mercy of Allah. So interestingly, when we do these four things to make our tawbah kamil and mukammal and acceptable, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also does four things with us. Any person who does tawbah in the way Allah ta'ala wants us to make tawbah, then Allah ta'ala will provide four rewards to such a person. It comes in a hadith that when a person who repents for his sin, he becomes like that person who has never had any sins. And Allahu Akbar Kabira. Imagine the azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness of Allah ta'ala, that if he can truly repent, then Allah ta'ala, he forgives us for all our previous sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers his love upon us. Allahu Akbar Kabira. The second reward that a person gets from Tawbah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us from shaitan and nafs. Allah ta'ala preserves us from sin, from those two agents. And we are no one to save ourselves from shaitan or from the sins that surround us. But if we make true Tawbah, if we truly feel remorse in our heart, if we have guilt about the actions that we have done, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect us from shaitan. Allah ta'ala will order the shaitan to stay away from us. And we should think all the sins that we may have done or we might do, and maybe even all the sins that we didn't do when we had all the opportunities to do them. That's another thing we should be thinking. That I had all those opportunities to commit all of those sins, but someone stopped me. Someone protected me. This is the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. This is beyond doubt the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has kept us away from that sin. And we must also make dua and pray to Allah ta'ala to protect us from all the other sins as well. That Ya Allah, in the way that You protected us from these particular sins, Allah save us from those sins as well. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person. Allah ta'ala showers His love on that person who makes tawbah. In Quran, Allah ta'ala says that Inna Allah yuhibbu tawwabi. Allah loves the people of tawbah. In a hadith, the Prophet said also that a person who repents to Allah ta'ala, they're loved by Allah ta'ala. So surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful, is the most loving of all, loves us more than our own parents. And, you know, we fool ourselves into thinking that we can find pleasure or contentment in these worldly luxuries, in this dunya. This is the deception of the dunya. Dunya makes us think, it fools us. It fools us in trying to derive satisfaction here in this world, contentment and pleasure in these worldly luxuries. We begin to desire this temporary, fleeting dunya. It misleads us. A true believer is one who finds pleasure and contentment in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who looks forward to being the true follower of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who's willing to mold his or her entire life and according to the teachings of the Quran, Sunnah, and Sharia. Someone who can humble himself and become Abdullah, the servant and slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And anyone who can humble themselves truly and become a true Abdullah, then Allah ta'ala will lift him up and make him Waliullah. This is Allah ta'ala. This is the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That if you become a true Abdullah, Allah ta'ala will truly make you a waliullah, a friend of Allah. That whoever lowers himself for the sake of Allah ta'ala will raise that person up. So easy way of tazkiyah is our spiritual health, is that we begin with tawbah. Those who already have spiritual health, they're people who have taqwa. Those with taqwa, they don't need tazkiyah because they already have that spiritual health. The Sahaba Ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een, they were living lives of taqwa. We are people who are spiritually sick. We are sick people. And like our, you know, physical sickness, when you become physically sick, right, we need to go, we need a regimen, we need a trainer. So similarly, when our spiritual health goes away, we become sick. We become sick spiritually, then we also need a regimen. We need a daily regimen of some extra optional nafil ibadat and zikr so that we can regain our spiritual health. And every regimen requires a trainer. We need a trainer who can train us, who can guide us, who can keep us on this path and enable us to recover our spiritual health. So this recovery also comes in stages. Easy way of taqwa, easy way of tazkiyah, tawbah, zikr, and then taqwa. Start with tawbah, then we start on a daily regimen of dhikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enable us to reach taqwa. Tawbah, zikr, taqwa. Tawbah, zikr, taqwa. That's the khulasa. It's the summary. It's the way to attain tazkiyah. But on this journey, when a person, there are some stages that come, some feelings that a person has. Normally, when a person starts this journey, there is this khashiyat in our hearts. It's a fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a fear of displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This khashiyat is stage one. It's khashiyat. This is a fear of Allah ta'ala, which is not like the way you fear snakes and scorpions. It's a deep reverence and awe of Allah ta'ala. It's a fear of being distant from Him, a fear of disappointing Him, a fear of losing touch with Him. And when we do sajda, sajda is really when we fall at the feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at that point, we should check our hearts. That when I'm in sajda, check that, am I able to feel Him? And if we don't feel Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we're at the feet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, means we have already lost Allah ta'ala. There's no tazkiyah without khashiyah. We have to get this khashiyat in our life, in our heart. And we get this khashiyat, we get this fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by listening to bayans, listening to a lecture on the azmat of Allah, thinking about the azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, listening to some lectures about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, listening to the bayans of our mashayikh. We get this khashiyat by keeping good company, putting ourselves in the company of those who have this khashiyat of Allah ta'ala. And we get this khashiyat by increasing in our zikr. The more and more we remember Allah, we think about Allah, the more and more we will begin to feel the azmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, the muhabbat of Allah ta'ala in our hearts. The fear of ghayrullah will dissipate, will go away. This is the ta'sir of zikr. But this khashiyat is a stage. We're not supposed to limit ourselves to this stage only. Rather, this khashiyat has to be balanced with another feeling, which is a raja, which is hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear when we think about the azmat and greatness of Allah ta'ala, but hope when we think about the mercy and rahmat of Allah ta'ala. Yani, we start with khashiyah so that we don't sin. We don't even fall into sin. But then when you fall down because of nafs or shaitan or makhluk, whenever we fall down, then in that state when you're falling down, at that time you don't need khashiyah. At that time what you need is raja. You need hope in the mercy of Allah. We make tawbah. We try to stand up again with taqwa. And then the cycle continues. And we can spend our whole life doing this. The essence is that you keep trying. You keep trying, you keep standing up. Nafs and shaitan, they will never get tired in bringing you down. But Allah Ta'ala is looking at us. That, oh my servant, you also never got tired in coming back up again. So I'll forgive you. So when you're standing, fear Allah Ta'ala. Hold on to the ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. But when you fall down, now have hope in Allah Ta'ala. These two lines, this is a whole cycle. We can spend our whole life doing amal on these two sentences. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are standing. Have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we fall down. Raja, hope in Allah. And this tama for Allah, tama for the mercy of Allah. This thirst, actively seeking out the mercy of Allah ta'ala. A dynamic thirst, proactively going out and seeking this mercy of Allah, then we will go, you know, having this attitude that, Ya Allah, I will go wherever it takes me to go, wherever I can get your mercy. We will go wherever Allah Ta'ala's mercy is to be found, at whatever time, whatever place, whatever condition, Allah, I'm willing to go. Willing to go wherever, Allah, I can earn your mercy, I can get your mercy, I can find your mercy. And for that, you make mujahida. That's the next element, next ingredient. That in going, actively seeking out the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, wherever it is to be found, at whatever time, whatever space, place, that requires mujahida, effort. There is no surur without effort, no sukoon without effort, no peace and tranquility without first we make effort. But the joy is that when we make effort, we make mujahida, we making mujahida on one path, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us reach Him in several ways. So the ayah that we recited at the beginning, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, that whoever makes mujahida in drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one direction, one path, لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide that person on multiple pathways. Allah ta'ala will make us reach Him in several ways. So we have to make this mujahida. And what helps us and keeps us running, gives us that motivation to be able to keep on making this mujahida, remain on this path of mujahida, not dwindle, not falter, not slip, but rather to persist on this path of mujahida, is when we join ourselves with the people who are pushing us to make this mujahida. When we join ourselves, we align our hearts and our beings with those who are already true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We join ourselves with them. We join ourselves with those who are true believers, those who are true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Siddiqeen and Sadiqeen, someone who is truer than us. This is, you know, our deen truth requires sincerity. We need to take a look into our heart and realize that how untrue we really are. And then we look at someone who has aligned their hearts, their being with Allah Ta'ala. They're true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we look at them, we realize that they have attributes which we don't have. But when we join ourselves with those that are true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then those attributes will also come inside us as well. Like when you have an iron and you put that close to a magnet, if you put it close to a magnet for a long time, then that piece of iron also begins to function like a magnet, will attract others. The quality, the attribute of the magnet will come inside that iron filling. So we also need to join ourselves with these, with those who are true to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to attach ourselves to them so that we can generate taqwa within our hearts. This is the reason why the Prophet said that a person will be on the deen of their close, their intimate friend. There are no exceptions to this hadith. This is a haqiqat. It's not something that we go ahead and try. A few days ago, we heard something very important. One, in a gathering, many ulama were there, and a person, he said that we should do amal on the sunnah, but we should never test the sunnah. Don't do amal on the sunnah thinking that I'm going to experiment and see whether it comes true or not. For if we approach the sunnah with that lens, then we'll keep on testing our whole life and will not be able to attain the barakah of that sunnah. Rather, we should do amal on the sunnah with yaqeen that whatever the Prophet ﷺ has said is haq, is it true? So amal on the sunnah has to be done with yaqeen, with conviction, with certainty, not with the mind so that I want to go and check it out. There are no exceptions to this. A person will be on the deen of their close, their intimate friend. So if you can choose our friends, those who are loved by Allah, those who love Allah Ta'ala, and if we choose our friends, those whom we love for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, if our choosing is on the basis of their deen, if our choosing is on the basis of the strength that they have in their deen, then we will also become strong in our deen. This is the entire idea. This sohbat-e-sadiqeen, keeping the company of the sadiqeen, the pious, the righteous. This is an easy way to attain taqwa. This is an easy way to attain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To attach ourselves with the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to join ourselves with them, those who are true to Allah ta'ala, so that we can generate those feelings of taqwa and muhabbat of Allah in our hearts as well. The other alternative is a very hard way. The hard way is that you go to Allah ta'ala without tazkiyah, without tawbah, without taqwa, without zikr. Allahu Akbar. Imagine someone says that, I want to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to draw close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they're doing that without tazkiyah, without making an effort of tazkiyah, without making tawbah, without striving for taqwa, without doing zikr. That's very hard. Allahu Akbar Kabir, very difficult. Allah Ta'ala has given us this easy way. So this is a choice, an easy way to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The easy way is that a person becomes a person of tawbah, taqwa, zikr. This is the easy way to get to Allah. The hard way is a person tries to get to Allah Ta'ala without tazkiyah, tawbah, taqwa, zikr. Tazkiyah is this process of changing ourselves. Changing, we have to make that change. This is what tazkiyah is all about. To generate those feelings of muhabbat for Allah Ta'ala. Have khashiyah, have muhabbah. Have umid, raja, hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And the beginning of this journey is that we start with irada. For many of us, we need to reignite that flame of desire in our heart to become lovers of Allah and beloveds of Allah, to become pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That flame of desire should always be there in our heart, that we wish to try to turn to Allah. At least try. And if we fail, if we fall, if we slip, we try again. And we spend this whole entire life trying. And we have mentioned the statement before as well of my own Shaykh. And he would say this in Urdu. I will translate this into English. That agar koi insaan apne puri zindagi Allah Ta'ala ka dost banne ki koshish kare, to Allah Ta'ala ki rahmat se ba'id hai ki aise shakhs ko Allah Ta'ala dushmano ki fehrist mein shumar karenge. What that means is that a person who spends their entire life trying, yearning, wishing, striving, truthfully, sincerely, to become a lover of Allah, a beloved of Allah, a friend of Allah. They're trying, making dua, trying to make themselves pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. They're making dua, they're doing dhikr, they're keeping good company. They slip into sin, but they pick themselves up again. They fall, but then they stand back up again. They immediately make istighfar. Every day they make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again they're making tawbah. Even if they sin again, they still make tawbah again. And you never do the sin except that they follow it with tawbah. Never do they fall except that they raise themselves up again. Never do they become disconnected, that they become reconnected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. Never do they lose themselves in the passion for this dunya, except that again they try to reignite that flame, that passion for Allah ta'ala. And in all their lives they're trying, maybe not necessarily achieving, not necessarily succeeding, not necessarily attaining, but trying, spending their entire life wanting to please Allah Ta'ala, then it is beyond the mercy and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah Ta'ala will make such a person stand among his enemies on the day of Qiyamah. No way. Rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will view that person, that this person always wanted to be my friend. He always yearned to be my friend, was truly, sincerely striving to become my friend. Allah Ta'ala will make him his friend. Allah Ta'ala will raise him up to be his friend. Allah Ta'ala will view him to be his friend. Allah Ta'ala will decide that he is my friend on that day of Qiyamah. So Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayh, he would say, that I love the people of righteousness. I love the people who have salah. I love the people who are true. I love the people who are pious, but I'm not one of them. But I have hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have this desire. Simply my desire is that I want to be like the salihin. And I have love for the salihin. And I wish that I could become amongst the Salihin. And Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayh, he would present this wish to Allah Ta'ala. That Allah, I present my wish to you, this wish that I wish I could be amongst the Salihin. That Allah, you will raise me up on the day of Qiyamah amongst the Salihin. So this dunya is temporary. This dunya is about to end. We don't know how long we have to live. But this is the time, this is an opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to each one of us. And we should try to make use of this opportunity and do as many good deeds as we can. If we have sinned in our life, this is a golden chance that Allah ta'ala has given us, that we turn back to Him in tawbah. In fact, every day we should be making tawbah 100 times. We repent of our sins and we make a new pledge, a new irada, commitment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah, we want you. Allah, we desire you. Allah, we want you more than anything else in this world. We want to please you more than anything else in this world. And ya Allah, we are presenting our niyat to you. If only we can make this dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every day with sincerity. This is also part of mujahid. If we take this baby step towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up ways. Allah ta'ala will make the other mujahidat easy for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this path of tazkiyah easy for us. Allah ta'ala will open up the path of zikr for us. Allah ta'ala will open up the path of remaining true on the true tawbah for us. Allah Ta'ala will open the path of mujahidah for us. Allah Ta'ala will open up. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. But we have to make a start. We have to do whatever we are able to do We have to increase in our good deeds, strive for doing as many good deeds as we can. This dunya is limited. Intelligent is that person who utilizes the blessings of this world to make an investment for akhirah. Today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with so many blessings. We have so much wealth, so much comfort, so many luxuries, so many blessings, bounties, uncountable. So imagine if we have all of this here in this world, but if this was taken away in Qiyamah, that would be truly tragic. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, once someone gave him a cold, he asked for water, someone gave him a sharbat. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he started crying. And someone asked him, why Amir al-Mumin, why are you crying? And he said that I remembered that what if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the compensation for my good here in this dunya and I had nothing left for me in akhirah. These are the names that Sahaba Ikram, we read about their lives, we read about their stories. But this was their insaniyah, this was their feelings in their heart. This was how their taluk that they had with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much awareness about akhirah and so detached from the dunya, living a life of simplicity, of zuhud, unattached, indifferent to dunya, whether they have the dunya, they don't have the dunya. Their focus was always on akhirah, on attaining as much as they can in akhirah. Every moment they would be thinking about maximizing akhirah. Today we think about wealth, that I'm wealthy in this dunya. Very few people are thinking that I want to be wealthy in akhirah as well. This dunya will end for 60, 70 years. This wealth will end. Even the wealthiest person will die and that wealth will be gone from him. The real successful person, truly successful person is one who will be the wealthy in akhirah, a wealthy person in akhirah. And the wealth in akhirah is not going to be dirham and dinar. Not going to be dollars and euros. The wealth in akhirah will be amal salih. That's why over and over again, in Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after Iman mentions amal salih, that if we have these amal salih, the more amal salih we have, the more good deeds we have, the more wealth we will have on that akhirah. The more we'll be able to buy in akhirah, the more blessings we will have in akhirah. Yeah, this is the nature, this is a principle. That when you go to a town, to a city, if you have the wealth of that city, if you have the coin, the currency of that city, then you're a rich person. You can buy whatever you want. You can live a life of comfort and luxury. But if you don't have the currency and there is no way to exchange the currency, then you're stuck. So in Qiyamah also, the currency of akhirat is good deeds. And whoever has this currency, they'll be rich, they'll be comfortable, they'll be enjoying a life in akhirah. Alhamdulillah, there are still people alive today who are earning their akhirah. And there are two ways of living a life. There is one attitude which says that I want to earn my dunya. And they're always thinking day in, day out, 24 hours, their thoughts are all about dunya. How to make this investment and get the dunya, how to make that investment and maximize the returns, their profits. Just thinking how to make 2 into 4, 4 into 8, 8 into 10. And then there is another attitude where they're thinking about akhirah. They're thinking how to maximize their akhirah. There are two different ways of living a life. The Prophet said that intelligent, al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'd al-maut. That intelligent is that person who does amal, that amal which will benefit him when he passes away. So alhamdulillah, when people understand this reality, we see examples even in this zamana. And we might think that the Sahaba Ikram, they were blessed because they were living in a blessed era. But even in this zamana of fitna, trial, fasad, we find such people who are living lives for akhirah. If a person is attaining ilm of deen, means that they're making their investment in akhirah. This ilm will become noor for them. This ilm will become a shield for them. But this ilm will be able to benefit them if they do amal according to this ilm. This whole journey of becoming a talib-e-ilm, this is extremely rewarding. This is our investment for akhirah. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Ahadith Mubarakah, they mentioned so many virtues for a true seeker of knowledge. The shart is a true seeker of knowledge. Talib-e-ilm, talab. And ilm, that ilm which is ilm-e-nafi. That ilm which is not simply for malumat, for information, but that ilm which is there for amal, to learn that how am I supposed to change myself? How am I supposed to fix myself? How can I make myself pleasing in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And for that, getting ilm. For amal. Maqsad is amal. Asl mein talib-e-ilm, it's a shorthand. Their full form was talibul ilmi wal amali. If about 100 years ago, we used the full form, talibul ilm wal amal. Only in the recent years, we abbreviated that into talibul ilm. And as a result, we lost, you know, lafz ki alfaz ki tabir. There is an effect of words as well. We dropped that talibul ilmi wal amal into talibul ilm only. So as a result, the reality also, we find students are only thinking about themselves in terms of bookish knowledge. Now, it's not simply books. It's about amal. And a person who does zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're also making their akhirah. They're also, in a hadith, the Prophet mentioned that a person, when they do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they get so much reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they won't even get that amount of reward by spending in charity or by doing jihad fi sabilillah. And there are some people who will be living, who will be lying on comfortable beds, but their rank in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be very high. Why? Because on their comfortable beds, they will be doing zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So living a life of zikr, this is also preparing akhirah, preparing for our akhirah. When the jannati will go into Jannah, they will be given all types of blessings and they will have everything around them. But they're still in Jannah, they will have this one hasrat, one regret. And that regret will be about those moments that they spend in this dunya in a state of ghafla, in a state of heedlessness. They would wish that they had spent even those moments in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For every subhanallah that a person says, their daraja will increase in Jannah. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So those who are doing zikr every day, they're also making their akhirah. Those who are reading Quran, making istighfar, reciting durood and salawat of the Prophet ﷺ, these are all efforts. These are all investments that you're making for akhirah. Every day your investment is increasing. Every day your akhirat, the bounties of akhirat are increasing. Your wealth in akhirah is increasing. Your currency is increasing. Yani, imagine that there is a bank account and you're putting that money in this bank account. This bank account is the account of akhirah. So this is how we should be planning our day. When we start the day, we should be thinking that I need to put as much as I can in my bank account of akhirah. I have 24 hours. I need to maximize on this time. This time will pass away. After 24 hours, these 24 hours will be gone. The question is that how did I spend these 24 hours? Did I spend these 24 hours only accumulating the dunya? Or did I spend these 24 hours accumulating the wealth of akhirah, the currency of akhirah? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this so easy for us. It doesn't mean that you always have to be sitting on the musalla or in the masjid. You can know. This is the beauty in our deen of the sharia of the Prophet that a person can be in university studying their subjects, and still this can be part of their deen. How? If they make a pious intention. If their intention is that they want to learn and they want to use that learning for the khidmat of other people, for benefiting other people, then for as long as they're learning, that learning will also count as part of their deen, but also help them in drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will also become an investment in akhirah. Similarly, if there is a person who is working in an office or at work somewhere, and they make the intention that we are working so that we can earn a rizq-e-halal and we can feed our family rizq-e-halal, and in this way fulfill the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so their working, their earning also becomes part of deen. And they will also be rewarded for that. So there are so many things that we do, which are daily acts, mundane acts like eating, drinking, talking, meeting our parents, spending time with our family, even doing household chores. For women, they spend hours every day doing household chores. And sometimes we become so tired and we complain also. But if only we can think about this, that imagine Sayyidina Amma Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam, she, when she was with her baby Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, and she ran between Safa and Marwa. Why? She ran between Safa and Marwa because of her child, because of her baby. And that running became so maqbool in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala accepted that amal as sa'i. And later the Prophet would be told that you also have to do sa'i, and he revived the sunnah of Amma Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam. Such maqbool running, such maqbool effort. And behind that whole story, what do we see? We see that she was a mother and she had this fikr for her son. She had this want to do khidmat of her son, wanted to take care of her son. And that's what women do, that's what parents do. That they're running, they're cooking food, they're cleaning, they're wiping, they're from morning till evening, they're doing these things for people around them, their family, their spouse, their children. This is all khidmat. And if we can only attach this niyat that we're doing this because of Allah Ta'ala, because Allah Ta'ala loves khidmah, Allah Ta'ala loves that we benefit other people, and Allah Ta'ala loves that we benefit first and foremost our family. So then all of that running and all of that tiredness and all of that effort, all of that will be accepted by Allah Ta'ala and so acceptable. Imagine Amma Hajar alayhi salam, her footsteps, her running was so acceptable that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do ittaba of that amal. This is the how qadardan Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, how appreciative Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Ash-shakur. That the smallest of efforts that we make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards it in an immense way. So our Sharia is so beautiful that it has given us so many ways in which we can be making effort for Akhirah. But still, many times we fall into ghaflat. We become ghafil, we become heedless. And this is the dunya, this is the dhoka, this is the deception of the dunya. Dunya is always trying to entice us, always making us forget about Akhirah, always telling us that this is it and this is right now and this is the end. That we become so preoccupied with the dunya that we lose focus about our Akhirah. We sometimes forget even to differentiate between halal and haram. We go for unlawful earning, impermissible sources of income, impermissible options. We go for that. We want to finance our house. Islamic option is available, but we go for the leasing that is interest-based. We want to finance our car. An Islamic option is available, but we go and we finance our car with an interest option. So this is the dhoka. This is the deception of the dunya, that we fall into unlawful. And when we fall into unlawful, then we get what we want, but the barakah is taken away from it. And the stamp of zillat will be placed upon ourselves in this dunya and akhirah because of that unlawful activity, because of that sin. So a smart person, an intelligent person, is that who understands the hakikat of this dunya. And they don't lose sight of akhirah. They use the dunya in order to make their akhirah. If Allah Ta'ala has given them wealth, Allah Ta'ala has given them enough blessings, they do shukr of Allah Ta'ala. They don't become arrogant. They don't take pride in those things. They understand that all of these things are given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they spend that wealth in the path of Allah. They realize that other people have hukuk. They have rights on this wealth. They have obligations to discharge towards other people, the needy, the poor, the orphans, those who are oppressed, those who need that money. They understand that this is not my own money. Other people, they have a right over this money. I'm supposed to spend upon them as well. So they spend, they're humble. They humble and they spend that money and they're grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hasn't given them much, they're living a life of difficulty, poverty. That's also an imtihan, it's a test. And they do sabr, they're patient about that. Either way, this time will end and then a person will reach their akhirah. So we should have radha bil qada. This taqdeer of what we will get in this dunya, this has already been laid down. Even before we were born, our risk, even the last morsel, the last bite that we will have, that has been listed down. It has been defined, decreed for us. We will not be able to eat one bite extra, nor one bite less. That has been decreed for us. So whether we will get a life of a lot of wealth or little wealth, that's not the most important question. That has been written down. If our taqdeer says we will be wealthy, then we do shukr of Allah Ta'ala, we don't become arrogant and we spend that wealth in the path of Allah. If in our taqdeer it's written that we will be poor, financial difficulty, then we live that time with sabr, patience, and we don't fall for the impermissible. We don't go into the unlawful. This taqdeer is written down. But the real goal, the real effort that we should be making is not food, is not money, is not wealth of this dunya. The real effort is that we should be making our akhirah. Every person, whether rich or poor, old or young, man or a woman, this is the effort. This is our maqsad. This is the goal, to accumulate as much as akhirah, as much good deeds as we can, to build our akhirah, to invest our akhirah, make an investment for our akhirah. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us to this world. We have limited time, but this time is all that we have. And every day that we pass by, it's going to become past. Past tense, won't come back. A few days ago, our Sheikh, he was visiting, he came to Karachi and was mentioning about some of his students from different parts of the world who, alhamdulillah, even in this zamana, they're also making such an incredible effort for akhirah. The Sheikh, he mentioned that there are six women who are alive right now that he knows of, who pray one, who recite one Quran every single day. Allahu Akbar Kabir. And they're non-hafiza, not hafiz. One Quran every day. Six of them. And they're married, their families, their kids, household responsibilities, everything else that we have, they have all of that. But along with that, they start their day, they send their kids to school, and then they open the Quran and start reading, doing tilawat. And then by Asr time, they're able to finish their Quran. They start at Fajr, they end at Asr. One tilawat, one Quran every day. Six women, not one, not two, six. And one of them happens to be a cancer patient. The doctor said that she won't be able to survive for a few months. And alhamdulillah, years have passed by, she's still alive, and she's still reciting one Quran every day. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Non-Hafiza. So people like that are also alive today. We might make excuses that I have family, I have responsibility, I have this, that, and the other. These are also people with the same thing, same background. Not Alima, Hafiza, they're people like us, ordinary. But alhamdulillah, this fikr for Akhirah is there, this worry of Akhirah is there, this yakin about Akhirah is there, as if Akhirah is right before their eyes. And hence, they're making this effort. Akhirat ko kamare, earning Akhirat. There are people alive today who have a habit, daily regimen, of reciting La ilaha illallah 5,000 times every day. Any 5,000 times reciting this kalima tayyiba every single day. Such people are alive right now. Again, young men, young women. We're not talking about some very pious, righteous wali of Allah Ta'ala. We're talking about ordinary working people, studying students with responsibilities, with obligations, with families, with work, 5,000 times every day, kalma tayyiba. Allahu Akbar Kabir. We are not able to recite kalma tayyiba 100 times every day. We are not able to recite one juz of Quran every day. And they're able to recite one Quran every day. These people are like us. They're people who have a habit of reciting daily. They recite 5,000 times durood and salawat on the Prophet ﷺ. We're not able to recite durood and salawat 100 times every day. People are alive, some people who they do muraqabah, they do zikr-e-kalbi for 5, 6, 7 hours every day. Allahu Akbar. We're not able to sit for 10 minutes every day. So people, not everyone is like us. Five fingers are not equal. So we also need to be having this fikr, this concern. There was a person who in Makkah Mukarrama, 70 years old, and daily he used to perform 70 tawaf of Baitullah Sharif. What that means is 70, each tawaf has 7 rounds. So 7 times 70, that's 490 rounds of Baitullah Sharif. And then for every tawaf, you have to pray 2 rakat wajib tawaf. So 2 rakat for every tawaf and 70 tawaf, 70 times 2, 140 raka wajib tawaf every day. So 140 raka and 490 rounds of Baitullah Sharif. And this was one amal. There were other amal besides this. 70 years old. And today, if one of us, we go there, 25, 30, 35, young, mature, developed, we go there and we try, energetic, passionate, and we're still not able to complete 10 rounds every day. Such people are alive and they're making their akhirah. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us, this is preparing for akhirah doesn't mean that there's some exercise that you have to do. There's some, you know, you go to the gym and start practicing. You know? Preparing for akhirah is very simple. that we try to do everything according to the sunnah. If we eat according to the sunnah. We wake up, we sleep, we use the restroom, we do every these mundane daily actions. We learn the sunnah way and we do them according to the sunnah way. And when we have time, then we do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have a daily regimen of nafil ibadat, of tilawa, of istighfar, durood and salawat, and zikr-e-kalbi. And we keep ourselves attached with those who are pious, righteous, the siddiqeen, the salihin. We keep attending to their bayans, listening to their bayans, informing them, taking counsel, guidance from them, to keep us connected, so that eventually the feelings of taqwa and muhabba can also come in our hearts as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this shariat very easy. It doesn't mean that you have to leave your work, leave your university, leave whatever you're doing in the dunya. No, you continue all of that. But you do all of that according to the sunnah and with an awareness of Allah ta'ala in your heart. This is called preparing for akhirat. That you don't fall into sin, you don't leave the sunnah, and you don't become ghafil. You don't fall into masiyah, you don't fall into ghafla. But you do the things that you have to do with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq that we can do amal on these teachings of our deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us people of tazkiyah, make us people of taqwa, tawbah, dhikr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the easy way through which we can reach Him, through which we can attain the qurb of Him, through which we can become the beloveds of Allah ta'ala and make ourselves pleasing to Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept this intention, this dua, this irada from all of us tonight. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.